Rosa Wednesday that this collaboration had begun to be discussed intensively with the Gates Foundation. Rosa Nasrani explained that the Danantara Trust Fund is planned to accommodate 1.5% of dividend received by Danantara each year. According to him, within 5 to 6 years, the Danantara Trust Fund will generate $1 billion that can be used to expand social contribution in the field of education, sanitation, and improving the standard of living of the Indonesian people.
Within 5 or 6 years, we will have been able to provide $1 billion to the Danantara Trust Fund, which of course, in the field of education, sanitation, and to improve the standard of living of Indonesian people.
Rosa emphasized that the main goal of this initiative is to make Indonesia one of the centers of philanthropic activities in the Asian region. He also invited international entrepreneurs and philanthropics to contribute. Rosa stated that Danantara will coordinate this program with various state-owned enterprises that already have their own corporate social responsibility programs. The coordination will be carried out so that these social activities become more structured, sustainable, and in line with government programs.
Next, we have information about Indonesian basic and secondary education minister's stresses the importance of integrating AI and reading culture in education. Indonesian Minister of Basic and Secondary Education Abdul Muti emphasized the balanced use of AI and reading habits to strengthen students' learning during the launch of Gemini Academy 2025 in Jakarta. Ofra has the details.
Indonesian Minister of Basic and Secondary Education Abdul Muti discussed innovative strategies in education, including the role of artificial intelligence and coding. He emphasized the importance of using technology wisely to strengthen the learning process for students in Indonesia. This statement was made during the launch of Gemini Academy 2025 and the Educreator movement through the Educreator Academy in Jakarta on Wednesday. He explained that the program must remain integrated with our holistic learning approach and stay aligned with efforts to improve students' literacy and numeracy skills.
The program ini tetap berkorelasi dan tetap mendukung.
This program remains aligned and supports our efforts to improve literacy and numeracy skills. I think it should also be synchronized with efforts to encourage students to read books, especially textbooks. This could be printed text or electronic materials, including learning formats like games that connect school subjects with everyday life.
Abdul Muti also said that one of the main challenges in using AI is making sure the information students receive is accurate. He stressed that information from technology is not always reliable. Therefore, the use of AI must still be combined with the active role of teachers who truly understand the subject matter and context of Indonesian students' learning.
Sugar palm for bioethanol production as a substitute for fuel. Indonesia realizes food and energy security by planting sugar palm for bioethanol production as a substitute for fuel oil. Dora Pardede has the details.
The Indonesian Ministry of Forestry some time ago launched a food, energy, and water reserve forest in response to President Prabowo's direction, realizing food and energy security. This was conveyed by the Indonesian Minister of Forestry, Raja Juli Antoni, at the technical meeting of forestry extension workers for sugar palm communities as a source of energy and food in Jakarta Thursday. Raja Juli Antoni said that the launch was an effort to maximize the function of forests by not cutting down forests, but by reforesting critical forests planted with plants, trees that will support food and energy security. Sugar palm will be one of the plants that will be planted in the food, energy, and water reserve forest. According to Raja Juli Antoni, sugar palm can produce 24,000 liters of bioethanol annually, which can eliminate Indonesia's dependence on fuel oil, so that energy security can be realized.
Bahwa 1 hektar RM itu dapat memproduksi 24,000 liter bioethanol setiap tahunnya.
If 1 hectare sugar palm can produce 24,000 liters of bioethanol every year. If we look in 2023, we will import 26.89 million kiloliters of fuel, which will cost 396 trillion rupiah. This means that if we can plant 1.2 million hectares of sugar palm in this republic, then we will no longer need to import 26 million kiloliters of fuel. We will have much cleaner bioethanol, the combustion process is much better than fuel, and what our president longs for, namely energy security, we can realize by massively carrying out this planting.
Apa yang dirindukan oleh Pak Presiden kita, yaitu ketahanan energi, dapat kita wujudkan dengan secara masif melakukan penanaman ini.
Raja Juli Antoni further explained that this year, the government will plant 300,000 hectares of sugar palm which will collaborate with Danantara for the funding process. According to the Minister of Forestry, the Ministry of Forestry is currently trying to identify the best methodology for planting this sugar palm, so that there is hope that through sugar palm, Indonesia can realize energy and food security.
Let's move on to our next info, where Indonesia strengthens global commitment to reduce greenhouse gas emission. The Indonesian government reaffirms its commitment to reducing greenhouse gas emission by signing a mutual recognition agreement with an international carbon certification body. Ofra has the details.
The government of Indonesia, through the Ministry of Environment and the Environmental Control Agency, is committed to supporting the achievement of its nationally determined contribution, or NDC, in reducing greenhouse gas emissions through the Carbon Economic Value Scheme. International cooperation such as the Mutual Recognition Agreement, or MRA, with the Gold Standard Foundation is expected to create real impact, not just economic gains. Minister of Environment and Head of the Environmental Control Agency, Hanif Faisal Rafiq, delivered this statement during the signing of the MRA with the Gold Standard Foundation in Jakarta on Thursday.
The core purpose of the MRA is to establish two corporate relationships between the Ministry of Environmental Protection Agency of the Republic of Indonesia and international institutions, one of which is the Gold Standard Foundation. Through mutual recognition of the Indonesia Greenhouse Gas Emission Reduction Certification Scheme, SGREE, and the Gold Standard for the Global Goal, GS4GG.
Hanif added that the MRA will provide certainty in the registration and certification process of carbon projects in Indonesia while encouraging greater transparency and effectiveness in the carbon market.
The MRA will ensure consistency in how projects are designed and certified, provide a clear framework for registering international projects in Indonesia, and ultimately enhance transparency, integrity, and effectiveness in the carbon market while supporting sustainable development initiatives. Strategically, the MRA aims to broaden access to international carbon market for Indonesia projects, offering more opportunities for project development. It also directly supports the achievement of Indonesia's nationally determined contribution.
Hanif also said that carbon pricing serves as an incentive for transitioning to cleaner low-carbon technologies. With its rich natural assets like tropical forests and peatlands, Indonesia has strong potential to generate high-quality carbon credits and to strengthen its position as the global leader in climate action.
Our next info is about Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development shows infrastructure development supports achievement of self-sufficiency. Andy Longdoni has the details.
Indonesian coordinating minister for infrastructure and regional development Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono Friday conveyed the government's commitment to ensure that infrastructure development carried out in each region can encourage the achievement of self-sufficiency, which is the target of Indonesia's development. He conveyed this at the opening of the 2025 Ministry of Public Works regional consultation in Jakarta. In addition, Agus Harimurti said that infrastructure development carried out by the government is aimed at providing environmental resilience. According to him, infrastructure development must be able to improve the quality of life of the community. Infrastructure development to support self-sufficiency in food, energy, and water. Second, infrastructure to support improving the quality of human resources through education, health, housing, markets, and all facilities that support it, including sports. Agus Harimurti further said that infrastructure development support connectivity and economic growth, including environmental resilience. He also cited Indonesia's geographical conditions, which have disaster challenges. According to him, we prioritize the development of disaster-resistant infrastructure.
Coming up next, information about Indonesian coordinating minister for infrastructure and regional development wants to harmonize all concept related plan to build a giant seawall in Indonesia. Andy Romani has the details.
Coordinating Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono Friday said that he would coordinate to harmonize all concepts related to the plan to build a giant sea wall in Indonesia. In the opening of the 2025 regional consultation of the Ministry of Public Works in Jakarta, Minister Agus said that more sustainable strategic steps were needed in order to protect coastal communities. He added that the harmonization efforts were carried out, including ensuring the need for budgeting or financing sources. According to him, the construction of the giant sea wall will involve many parties, including investors from both within and outside the country.
Ada sejumlah konsep yang sudah beredar selama ini. Mari kita duduk bersama.
There are a number of concepts that have been circulating so far. Let's sit together. The Coordinating Ministry for Infrastructure is part of being able to harmonize the initial design, including concepts that have been implemented so far or have been developed during this. While in parallel, it must be ensured where the budget or financing source comes from. This is where we have to be active. We have to be proactive. I myself am involving myself. Every time I meet with any party, including potential domestic and foreign investors, I always tell them what the priorities are in infrastructure development for the next 5 years. Previously, the Dutch government has conveyed its commitment to support funding for the implementation of the giant seawall construction. The Dutch ambassador to Indonesia, Timor-Leste, and ASEAN, Mark Gritsen, explained that the funding was carried out through the Invest International Funding Institution with a value of 300 million euros or around 5.72 trillion rupiah. The giant seawall is one of President Prabowo Subianto's priorities to protect the north coast of Java from the threat of tidal flooding, abrasion, and land subsidence.
Next, info is about in a significant step towards enhancing international recognition for its climate initiative. Indonesia has entered into a strategic agreement with the Gold Standard Foundation to support the global integration of its carbon project.
The Ministry of Environment and Environmental Control Agency of the Republic of Indonesia signed a mutual recognition agreement, or MRA, with the Gold Standard Foundation on Thursday in Jakarta. Minister of Environment and Head of the Environmental Control Agency, Hanif Faisal Nurofik, stated that this collaboration is not just an agreement, but a strategic breakthrough that opens wider opportunities for Indonesia's carbon projects to enter global markets.
Our primary commitment to awards, I want to stress that MRI is not merely an agreement, it is a strategic breakthrough that opens the door wider of Indonesia's carbon project to penetrate global markets. It ensures that every conservation effort, emission reduction initiative, and renewable energy project receives the value it deserves on the world stage. Furthermore, the MRA will provide flexibility for climate mitigation actor to choose TS4GG certification for their project.
Minister Hanif further emphasized that all carbon projects must still be registered in the national registry system and comply with Indonesia's regulations to simplify the process. Project documents developed under international standards can be used as part of the national documentation. Project assessments will also be streamlined by aligning the criteria between Indonesia's system and the Gold Standard for the Global Goals, or GS4GG. The Gold Standard Foundation is a non-profit international organization that, in Switzerland, that develops certification standards for carbon projects and sustainable development. This partnership aims to harmonize carbon project certification systems, allowing Indonesian projects to gain global recognition more easily without having to go through a complex recertifications process.
Last but not least, we have info about Indonesia's Australia Film Corporation through FSAI 2025. Ranoff has the details.
Australian Ambassador to Indonesia, Roderick Braziers, emphasized his country's commitment to continuing cooperation with Indonesia in the film industry through the Festival Cinema Australia FSAI 2025. In his remarks during the media launch event of FSAI 2025 in Jakarta on Friday, Roderick said the festival has grown significantly since it was first held in 2016, what started as a fancy across Indonesia.
In just one decade, FSAI has grown into a strong platform for Australian and Indonesian filmmakers to collaborate and create new opportunities for partnership between the film industries of both countries.
Film Australia and Indonesia.
He added that this collaboration not only promotes cultural exchange, but also opens up economic opportunities to the creative industry. This year, Roderick said FSAI will screen 7 selected films from both countries, including short film made by Australia Awards scholarship participants. Festival Cinema Australia Indonesia 2025 serves as a symbol of the close relationship between Australia and Indonesia, especially in art and culture.
Find out more information that happens in Indonesia this week on Highlight of the Week.
Yeah.
Radio Republic Indonesia broadcast in my language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and live streaming on voanews.id and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Kisarani, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, on a special program, Voice Talk This Morning. And you know that the Indonesian government will form a task force to follow up on the United States tariff policy negotiations. And in this case, Indonesia will also submit a comprehensive offer related to non-tariffs and Indonesia's plan to balance the trade balance. The question is, how is the system and will it work? So please join us on today's dialogue and Voice Talk with Deputy of Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or IMDEF, Bapak Eko Listianto. Good morning, Bapak Eko.
Good morning, Mas Faisal.
How are you today, Bapak Eko?
I'm good.
So nice to see you and listen to you from this interview, Pai Kot.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, in this case, Pai Kot, the Indonesian government announced that it will form three task forces in response to Trump's tariff policy. And one of them is the Trade, Investment, and Economic Security Negotiation Task Force. So what is your plan for the formation of this task force, Pai Kot?
Yeah, in my opinion, this is a good strategy, yeah, for Indonesia to make some task force. Yeah. I hear three task forces that will address to this issue. So I think this is a good strategy to make sure that the end of this negotiation will win-win solution, yeah, both of Indonesia and also US. Of course, the implementation of this task force is we need to wait this action, yeah, this task force, but I think this is a good strategy for response for the Trump tariff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is there any better preparation that Indonesia should do, actually, for this?
Yeah, I think Indonesia need to do some strategy and focus strategy. So I think to make this response focus to the what is US want and also what we want. So we of course we need to task force because the implication of this Trump tariff will be will be impact to the some sector, some institution, some. So actually we need coordination in Indonesia, and it will manage better if we have task force. Yeah, especially if task force is has plan, a good plan, and also a good action. Yeah.
So is there any such as urgency, Michael, for the establishment of this task force actually?
Yes, of course, yeah. There is urgency to make this task force. What I said, that the Trump tariff will affect for the several sectors in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. So to make a good policy to respond this Trump tariff, and also to make sure that our negotiation will be have a good decision, mm-hmm, from US, a good response from US. So we need task force, yeah. But again, the challenge for this task force is because we have a limitation of time, yeah, just 2 months, make sure that it will win-win solution between America and Indonesia. So we will wait with the formation of the task force. Mm-hmm. People will input the task force. I think it's important to make sure that we have optimism in the negotiation, yeah, for the Trump tariff.
So you mean, Michael, the establishment of the task force is so fast?
I think this is we can say this is so fast, but because we have limitation of time, so the government need to fast respond for this situation. And I hope that the task force will involve inclusive stakeholders, not just bureaucrats, but also I think we need also from the entrepreneur, from academician, to make sure that we have a comprehensive strategy to negotiate with the US.
So you mean the government also needs such collaboration with such researchers, academicians, and even many stakeholders, Michael, to maybe to review about this?
Yeah, I think I agree, especially the entrepreneur, the government needs to involve the entrepreneur that has direct effect from the Trump tariff. We know that some sector in Indonesia will get the direct impact from this tariff, so it is a good momentum to invite the entrepreneur to join for the task force.
So coming to you, Michael, like you said before about the impact, I'm really interested in asking this actually. So far, for a short time, what kind of impact, Michael, that will be experienced by Indonesia for a few next months, maybe, Michael?
From the calculation, the direct impact from this Trump tariff will affect for the several sector, especially for the industry that labor intensive, like apparel, also the palm oil, get impact, and some sector that, especially for the labor intensive industry. Mm-hmm. So, because we need labor intensive industry, so I think we need to make sure that the effect of the Trump tariff will be minimized, and to make sure that it will happen, we need some task force to address this issue.
So Michael, so far as I know, here based on the task force has mentioned about the economic security, actually how is it, the aspect of economic security important for this, Michael?
Yeah, the task force also includes the term of economic security. So I think the concern of the economic security right now is about the labor industry. So because the direct effect from Trump tariff will be affected to the industry that have a big labor, a big human resource. So if we connect this task force with what is the economic security that we need to protect, that we need to make sure that there is just a minimized effect from this Trump tariff. So yeah, we need to address the labor, yeah, and yeah, if we make away the aspect of the economic security, maybe yeah, we also need to consider the food security, yeah, especially for these two important things, yeah, two important aspects that correlated with the economic security in Indonesia.
So maybe if we talk about food security in Indonesia, maybe this also such like has been done by many institutions such as the Malaysian Air Force, yeah, that you know, the chief of staff, Air Marshal Tony Harjono, also has instructed the officials, yeah, to plan such rice and even such rice, and even also from every fishery sector also in many areas in Indonesia, they plant rice and for fish in many sectors here. Also, that have been carried out, yeah, by the officials, Michael, in many areas. So how do you see this, Michael? I mean, also related to the food security in Indonesia.
Yeah, the main point is America has a big production of food. So and some of the food we import from US, especially for soybean, yeah, we import big import from US. So yeah, we need to make sure that our food security will still have a good position in this situation. Yeah, even we know that US will I think will try to negotiate this food. Yeah, I mean from some product from US, yeah, to have opportunity to make a bigger import for Indonesia. But in the same situation, we need to protect our farmer, of course, our stakeholder in the ecosystem of the food security. So yeah, for this situation, yeah, I think we need to at least careful, yeah, to negotiate about food security and also in the industry that has labor market in Indonesia.
So you mean in this case, the government must also give such incentive for farmers so that they have such enthusiasm, yeah, in planting or replanting rice, especially for the sake of food security in the future.
Yeah, I think Indonesia need to protect our farmers, so some incentive will be better for our farmers to make sure we have a competitiveness, yeah, with the US product, especially in food.
And in this case, Michael, in addition to the investment of a task force, there is also a deregulation task force, and also this deregulation is set by many parties as one of the good steps in responding to Trump's policies. Can you explain about this, Michael? What kind of good impact that will get if the deregulation is carried out?
Yeah, I think the deregulation actually without some kind of deregulation actually. So I think this task force, yeah, the deregulation task force, is in line with our strategy. Yeah. So I think that's good, yeah, for us to make sure that in the future the investment that comes from Indonesia, especially from the US, will be bigger and bigger. Yeah. So actually the deregulation, we need the deregulation because we know that some investment problem still happen in Indonesia. And yeah, we need to deregulate this problem, especially for the regulation itself and in some area also about our infrastructure. And yeah, we need to make sure that our regulation, yeah, will be adjusted to international level, regulation, yeah, international standard. I mean, that both of our country will be make this as a benchmark. Yeah. So if there is a regulation in our investment, I think it's a good, yeah, opportunity, yeah, for us also to invite more investor from US.
Okay, Michael, in this case, the US government has also established Danan Tara, Michael, and this also as one of the way to have such, grow about the Indonesian economy, Michael. So according to you, does Danan Tara could be one of the bargaining power for investment to stabilize economical turmoil with US?
Yeah, I think, this is there is opportunity actually for the Danan Tara to invite or to make a collaborate with the US investors, yeah. So I think in one side, there is a potential partner from US, yeah, with the Danan Tara. But in the other side, because, yeah, maybe for the investor from US need track record, at least they need to make sure that the Danan Tara will be manage the good investment, yeah. So yeah, we still need the time to make sure that Danan Tara will also invite investors from US to join for some project or maybe for some investment from the Danan Tara. But I think this is in line actually with the deregulation task force before, yeah. So if we can make some deregulation, that our investment regulation will be convergent to the standard, international standard. So I think there is some opportunity for Danan Tara, yeah.
Okay, last but not least, Michael, in addition, there is also a work termination, what we call layoff, Michael, PHK task force, that is considered to be prepared to anticipate the impact of tariffs on workers. How do you see this, Michael?
Yeah, I think, yeah, the government need to anticipate the situation if, actually we don't know if the negotiation will be successful or not, yeah. But we try, yeah. Try to make a best strategy. So the end of the strategy is impact, the biggest impact is about the layoff, yeah. So I think, yeah, the government need this task force also, yeah, the layoff task force, to make sure that the impact from the tariff will be, yeah, we have some solution, yeah, maybe with the optimize our domestic production or domestic market or some strategy that make sure that if there is layoff because of some tariff, and the government has a strategy to
alright. Thank you very much, Michael, for your time to join our VoiTalk special review today.
Yeah, thank you, Papa.
Okay, well, that was our special program, special review on VoiTalk with Papa Eko Listianto as Deputy of Institute for Development of Economics and Finance. So I'm Papa Eko. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
VoiTalk Indonesia. The overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in nine language services: English, French,
German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and live streaming on voanews.id and LFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. People Mati Polo, The Fashion, Indonesian Wonder, Disneyland, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.